Amen. Good to be here this morning. And of course, it's always a privilege when God's people have the opportunity of coming together for the purpose of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We certainly appreciate our singing being led by Brother Melvin, grateful for the scripture lesson read by Brother William, and we are thankful for the meaningful and relevant and well thought out prayer led by Brother John Bush. We're certainly glad to have them with us. We knew them before they had any children, and now they have Savannah and Serena. Savannah is 4 and Serena is 2 or 3. Serena is 3. I don't know if we're going to be getting another Bush sometime soon or not. But we appreciate John and Sunshine and their family. Certainly our hearts go out to them at this time. And certainly we are mindful of his mother and the medical episode that has led to her hospitalization. And we will certainly continue to keep her in our prayers. We want to also again express our heartfelt and sincere condolences for Sonia and Tanya on the loss of their grandmother, and want to keep them and their family, their families in our prayers. We want to also continue to remember those other members of this congregation who have recently lost loved ones. I'm thinking particularly of Sister Sheila Davis, whose mother was funeralized in Florence, Alabama on last Saturday week. And there are others as well, but let us take the opportunities that we have to weep with those who weep, as well as rejoice with those who rejoice. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 9. This is a passage with which most of us are familiar. This was the narrative of Saul of Tarsus as he, in a sense, was arrested by the Lord on the road to Damascus. He had been in operation against the Lord, demonstrating his antagonism to Jesus and the church for which he died. He had waged war in vicious persecution against the disciples of the Lord. He was so intent on sabotaging and destroying the church of the Lord that he's spoken of as yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, a murder against the people of God. He was locked in vicious opposition to Jesus and the church of the Lord. And the purpose for which he traveled to Damascus, to the synagogues of that region, was that he might arrest men and women and bring them bound to Jerusalem. It's interesting that he went with proper credentials and warrants to arrest the people of God. And in reality, he was the one that ended up being arrested. He was the one whose life from that day on would never be the same. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. Yeah, please don't raise your hand. My question is, how many of you have ever been arrested? Keep your hands down. Yeah, don't raise your hand. But just think about it. How many of you have ever been arrested? I'm not trying to determine by looking at your countenances and the expressions on your faces whether you might have, in reality, been arrested. I can imagine that it's not a positive experience for you to be arrested. Insofar as our law enforcement and judicial system is concerned, it's not something that's fun. It's not an enjoyable experience, I can imagine, to be arrested. If none of us has been arrested, each of us probably knows somebody that has been arrested. And all of us at some time or another have seen movies or television programs where law enforcement officials will say to one who has been resisting and who has been a violator of the law, who has practiced lawlessness, and finally he's cornered. Finally, he's confronted by the law enforcement officials. Now, one of the things that they will say, if you are holed up in a place of hiding or behind some barrier, one of the things they will tell you, that is the law enforcement official, and sometimes depending upon the particular case, they'll get the loudspeaker and they will say to you, come out with what? Come out with your hands up. And that's what we want to talk to you about today. Because we're focusing on the concept of surrendering. And when the police says, come out with your hands up, he's saying, give up, surrender. He's saying, don't try any funny business. Just come on out with your hands up. Now, look at your hands. Yeah, now you can do this. Yeah, go ahead and look at your hands. That won't in any way incriminate you. Look at your hands. Examine your hands. The Bible has a lot to say about hands. In Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48, the psalmist says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. He says, in this context, my hands also will I lift up unto thy holy commandments, or unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. And I take this to indicate that he lifts up his hands toward God in verification of his recognition of God's authority, in verification of his recognition of the commands of God. And not only does he acknowledge the commands of God and acknowledge the authority of God, but by virtue of him raising his hands or lifting up his hand, he is assuming a posture of submission and humility. And the thing is, he recognizes the value of God. He recognizes the goodness of God. He recognizes the goodness of God's commandments, because he had already come to love God's commandments. And he affirms his commitment to God's commandments by affirming, I will meditate in thy statutes. Come out with your hands up. Now I ask you to look at your hands. The Bible speaks of a number of different kinds of hands. The hands say a lot about a person. The hands say a lot about a man or a woman, because hands can be variously described. Hands can be variously employed. In Genesis 4:11, we read of the bloody hands of Cain. In Isaiah 59 and verse 3, the messianic prophet says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. So he speaks of defiled hands. I want you to be thinking about your hands. Isaiah 35 and verse 3 says, strengthen the weak hands. You know, there are some hands that are weak. But Psalm 24:4 speaks of clean hands. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And I want you to see the connection between the hands and the heart. The connection between the hands and the heart. Because in reality, the kind of heart you have will determine the kind of hands you have. The kind of heart you have will direct the activity of your hands. Proverbs 6 and verse 17 speaks of hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 31 and verse 13 speak of that marvelous woman who is called the virtuous woman. It speaks of her hands as being willing. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Willing hands. Then we talk about feeble hands in Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse number 17. And then we talk about over in Ephesians 4:28, working hands. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then Acts 2:23, speaking of those who were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible says that you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord. Those men who were responsible for the Lord's death, for his crucifixion, those were wicked men with wicked hands. But then Paul speaks in Acts chapter 20 and verse 34 of ministering hands, that is, hands that serve. He said, these hands, talking about his hands, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul speaks of holy hands. And I won't elaborate further on the various kinds of hands that men and women have. But I want to talk about just for a little while the concept of upraised hands and what that means for us and to us. Come out with your hands up. Upraised hands signify humility. Upraised hands indicate voluntary surrender. They also signify that one renounces the idea of resisting. If you'll observe in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, you can see that Saul gives up. You can see that Saul surrenders. You can see that he demonstrates a spirit of humility. The Bible says that he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He demonstrates that he's willing now to listen and he's willing to follow instructions. And when you are opposed to the law and have been fighting against the law, when they say come out with your hands up, when you raise your hands, what you're saying is, okay, I'll come out. You're saying I surrender. You're saying that I turn myself in. You're saying I put myself under your power and under your control. You're saying in essence, okay, I'm ready and I'm willing to follow instructions. What do you want me to do? And they say, you just ease out there. Don't make no funny moves. Just ease on out. And if you have a weapon, just drop that weapon very carefully. And they want to find out if you have any other means of resistance, if you have any other weapon on you. And they don't want you to try any funny stuff. They want you to go ahead and surrender. Surrender involves yielding oneself to the care of another, giving oneself over into the custody of another. And the idea of trust comes into play. And that's one of the things that a lot of folks are very uneasy about, the idea of trust. And so we were taught, and a lot of folks are taught, especially black folk are taught, be very careful when you encounter a law enforcement official. cooperate fully, and don't try anything. Don't get smart. If you're stopped on the interstate or stopped on the highway, let your hands be seen. Let it be known that you have no intention of inflicting any injury or harm on the officer. Let them know that you are concerned about cooperating and that you assume a posture of humility. Because a lot of folks have, innocent folk, have been killed because of the attitude they display or because of a funny move they made. So it's, you have to be very careful. To surrender is to yield to the power, control, or authority of another upon demand. To give up completely, it means to give oneself up into the power of another, especially as a prisoner. When you surrender, you put yourself under another's control. You know, Jesus had to surrender in order to secure our salvation. And as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, demonstrating that he had surrendered his will to God's will and he had submitted himself fully to God's will and placed himself completely into God's care, as he prayed with great solemnity and passion in the garden, he prayed saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." He renounced his own will. He gave up his own will and submitted his will to the will of God. Surrender also involves recognition of one's state of helplessness. Do you reckon that Saul on the road to Damascus was helpless, and that he recognized his state of helplessness? Now, he had his accomplices. They were going to arrest Christians in the synagogues of Damascus. But when he was arrested instead on the road to Damascus, he evidenced a sense of helplessness. And everybody who comes to the Lord, everybody who surrenders to Christ has to prerequisitely recognize and acknowledge a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. And this is indicated in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. And this is one of those passages we refer to sometimes frequently. "For while we were yet without strength," while we were yet without strength, signifying that we were hopelessly lost, we were helpless, unable, incapable, having no power to save ourselves. So in essence, when the officials have you surrounded, and when they say to you, "Come out with your hands up," you recognize a sense of helplessness. And you recognize you may as well give up. Now, you don't have to give up, but they usually demand that you give up. Now, in that case, in the case where you're surrounded by law enforcement officials, you recognize that you could be injured. You recognize that you could be killed in the process of being arrested. And sometimes the assailant or the lawbreaker will say, "Don't shoot!
Don't shoot.
Yeah, I'm coming out. They said, all right, you ease out. But now when it comes to the Lord calling for you to come out with your hands up, the Lord is not going to hurt you. The Lord is not going to do you any harm. All he wants to do is help you. But you can't resist him. You can't fight against him and expect to receive the help that you need. See, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm come that you might have life. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to bless you. But I want you to surrender to me. I want you to just turn yourself over into my care. And there are some today that the Lord is saying to you, I want you to come out with your hands up. I want you to give up. I want you to give up your way. I want you to give up your will. I want you to surrender to my will. I want you to accept my terms, because I'm going to provide for you that which nobody else can provide. There are folks right now who are holed up in the huts of sin. Some are hidden behind the rocks of unrighteousness, and some are secreted out in the woods of resistance, and they are determined to be rebellious. But the Lord is saying, in essence, come out with your hands up. Who needs to come out with their hands up? Well, there are a lot of folks that need to come out with their hands up. The liar is one of those who needs to come out with his hands up. Those involved in illicit sexual activity need to come out with their hands up. Those who hate their brothers and sisters like Cain hated Abel, they need to come out with their hands up. Those whose hearts are filled with pride need to come out with their hands up. Those who harbor malice and bitterness in their hearts need to come out with their hands up. Those who engage in the perpetual practice of gossiping need to come out with their hands up. Those who engage in the time-honored tradition of retaliation need to come out with their hands up. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to get her back if it's the last thing I do. You need to come out with your hands up. You need to surrender to the Lord. Those who exhibit a spirit of covetousness and who bow down in worshipful devotion before the altar of materialism, they need to come out with their hands up. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Not only that, but those whose hearts are the repository of envy and strife need to come out with their hands up. James 3:16 says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Those who have the habit of sowing discord among the brethren need to come out with their hands up. Those who have become enslaved to alcoholic beverages and have become the victims of gambling, rather the victims of drunkenness, they need to come out with their hands up. And you throw your bottle out, throw your dice down, throw your cards down, throw your beer down, throw your drug paraphernalia down, throw all of the implements and the tools of your particular sin and just give it up. Come out with your hands up. Those who have been perpetually unfaithful to the Lord, those who have abandoned the assemblies of the Lord's people need to come out with their hands up. Look at your hands. What do your hands say about you? What kind of activities do your hands engage in? Your hands can be cleansed. Your hands can be transformed. Your hands can be renewed. Your hands can be rededicated. James 4, 6 through 8 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Then he says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." You know, we talked about the connection between the hands and the heart. In order to cleanse the hands, the heart must be purified. And of course, we can purify our hearts through obedience to the truth. Paul's life, and we started off with Paul, Paul's life illustrates that hands that were once employed in the commitment, or the commission rather, of mischief, can be consecrated to render useful and wholesome service. Not only that, but hands once stained with the blood of the innocent can be made clean and undefiled. Hands formerly employed in stealing the property of others can be transformed into hands that engage in honest labor that they might have to give to those who have need. Hands that previously perpetrated acts of cruelty can be transformed into hands that provide comfort and compassionate care. Hands that prey on the innocent and helpless can be surrendered to the Lord and transformed into hands that can be placed together in a gesture of praying for the welfare of others. Come out with your hands up. And that just simply means surrender to the Lord. That simply means give yourself up to the Lord. Turn over your life to Him and submit to His will, because He has the very best life to offer you. He has the very best plan for a meaningful life, for a productive life, for a fruitful life, and for a fulfilling life. But in order to be the rich recipient of it, it is necessary that you surrender to His will. My question is, are you ready to surrender to Him today? Are you ready to come out with your hands up? Are you ready to say to the Lord, "I've been resisting you long enough. I've been doing my own thing long enough. I've been rebellious long enough. It's time for me to surrender. It's time for me to come out of the world with my hands up. It's time for me to come out of darkness with my hands up. It's time for me to come out of the woods of sin with my hands up. It's time for me to leave the broad way and come out with my hands up." Will you come out today with your hands up? If you're not yet a Christian, will you come out and become a Christian today through hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins and allowing the Lord to make you a part of his family? Are you willing to come out just figuratively? I don't want you to walk down the aisles with your hands up like this, but I want you to have an inward mental and spiritual attitude of humility and submission to the Lord, and a spirit of obedience to the Lord. So, Lord, I'm going to turn my life over to you. The things I used to do, I'm giving those up. The way I used to live, I'm going to abandon that. If I used to sass my mama, I'm coming out with my hands up. If I used to curse my wife, I'm going to stop it. I'm coming out with my hands up. If I used to engage in illicit sexual activity, I'm coming out with my hands up today. If I used to cheat, I'm coming out with my hands up. If I engaged in the practice of gossip, I'm giving that up. I'm coming out with my hands up. If I used to be enslaved to alcohol and drugs, I'm coming out with my hands up. I'm surrendering. I'm turning my life over to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful idea? The Lord stands with outstretched arms to receive you. Even right now, he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Come on out. My yoke is easy. Come on out, and my burdens are light. Give up that old way of life. Give up your fears and give up your anxieties. Give up your uncertainty. Give up your pride. Give up your arrogance. Give up your malice. Give up your hatred. Give up your bitterness. Lay all that stuff down and simply come out with your hands up. You're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside and have lapsed into a tragic state of unfaithfulness. You need to come out with your hands up. You need to recommit your life to the Lord. And this can be done. You can indicate your posture of surrender and humility, of upraised hands, through repentance, confession, and prayer. Are you ready? Are you willing to come out right now with your hands up and submit to the will of the Lord? If you are, we encourage you to do it even now as we together stand and as we sing.
613.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?